This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Oh, so many things to get into today on the podcast. Glad you are here. We are going to talk a little bit later about how FIFA continues to FIFA. You can't stop FIFA from FIFA-ing. We'll get into the latest version of that coming up.
They're doing an awesome job.
We are going to put the socks in soccer.
Yeah. That was stupid. I didn't know you were going to say that. I don't agree with that. I disagree wholeheartedly.
A lot of people don't know. That's why they call it soccer. Is you have to put socks on before you can play soccer.
That is a fact.
That's how we came to that name. Yep. It definitely has nothing to do with association football and any of that. Nope.
Football. It's all about, just being called football.
It's all about soccer. Anyway, we're going to talk about Manchester United and Sockgate and maybe other things with them. Because
I don't want to.
Poo. Also, while we're on the topic of it being a bad week to be a United, hey, Atlanta United, how you doing? How you feeling, boys? How was that trip to Columbus, huh? We're going to start there today, and we're going to take plenty of time with it. Get into the Crew's big 2-0 victory over Atlanta. The kids are saying Dos Acero is a term
right.
that has been yep. used in Columbus. I've never heard it, but anyway, beating Atlanta 2-0. Pretty good night of soccer, Beam. How did you get to watch this one? I assume, like me, you were watching from home because you got the little tyke.
And yeah, I was watching from home. Neighbor Eric went to the game last night. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I think I could have secured a ticket. So Ruth, who is his wife, we were out there for trick or treat. We were doing.
She,
Halloween.
By the way, is just Ruth. She's not neighbor.
She's
Ruth.
Not neighbor. She's
not your
Ruth.
Neighbor.
No. Yes, she is just Ruth. So she was so funny. We were having Halloween, and you know, he built a fire out there in front. And, like, we were doing it on the driveway, and that was cool. Like, kids come up to the driveway, and we're around the fire.
That's a great, by the way, underrated way to do it. Have the fire. Have your friends over, yeah. And then the kids coming up. If you don't have kids, I've seen people doing that in our neighborhood for Halloween, and I thought. I envy you because that's everybody's drinking and having a good time.
Do you know what they call those, by the way, too?
No.
Like, this is a big thing among the millennials who are my age without kids.
Yeah.
They are called dinks.
Yes.
Are you aware?
Dual income, no kids.
That's a great term.
Dinks. Well, I was talking about it with Chops and J-Lo,
yeah.
who, by the way,
they're dinks.
Shout out to their podcast. They are if you have not checked out Chops TV, you should. They host a podcast about pop culture if you like us.
Yep.
But you're like, I don't want to hear ever about soccer. I just want to hear, actually, if you hate us, even, you could listen to this because it has nothing to do with us.
I don't know why you'd be here in the first place.
But my point is, if you like the radio station and you listen to that, Chops is great. And his lovely wife, J-Lo, whose name is literally Jennifer Lopez.
From Brooklyn.
They do a weekly podcast about that. They were talking to me about that. And then I also heard there's a different term. There's dinks, dual income, no kids, which they are, but they are almost close to dildos.
Oh.
Dual income, little dog owners. Now, they have a large dog. I got, you know what? Large dog owner could work. I think they have like a medium. The problem is they're dimdos. They have a medium-sized dog. If you have a large dog or a little dog, you can be a dildo.
Meredith and I are technically dildos too.
No, you're not.
Dual income large dog owner. We have that too.
Oh yeah, but because you do have a kid, but that's not.
We're
all
not
it
dinks.
Is dual
we're
income
dildos.
Large
yeah.
dog owner. That's oh man, I'm a simdo, single income medium sized dog owner. With a cat, with two cats and three kids.
Neighbor Eric and Ruth dinks.
But yeah, they're the
dual
dinks.
Income
all
no
right.
kids.
Yeah, sorry. So. Your dink neighbors are out in the fire, lighting a fire up in the driveway.
That sounds bad.
Like, your neighbors are just dinking and dunking out there.
Yeah, they're dinking, dunking, having a good time. We're out there drinking hot apple cider with rum in it. Like, that was pretty good. And so,
what a move, by the way. I was putting cold apple cider in bourbon, which had the same kind of effect because the bourbon was very warming. But if apple cider and a beverage, why drink apple cider plain if you're over 21?
Correct.
I don't understand. What is the purpose of that without some kind of alcohol in it? If you're not driving, there you go.
Right, there's which
also,
we weren't.
Also that, lots of caveats.
We were stumbling back into the house, and you know, Eric was talking about going to the game because Halloween was on Tuesday, game obviously was on Wednesday, And he was like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be this temperature, okay? And they're, like, talking about what they need to bring and, like, jackets and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure if I wanted to in that moment, I could have been like, Ruth, if you don't want to go to the game, I will go with Eric. Because she was, like, a 90% like, I don't know, it's going to be cold out. Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to go. And they're season ticket holders. Like, they have awesome seats in the west side of the stadium. Like, they're only a few rows up from the field. And I could have – I'm pretty sure I could have, like – barged my way in there and told Ruth, like, if you don't want to go, I'll go. It'll be fine. We'll be good. But I was like, yeah, it's 7:30. It's 7:55 kick time. By the time that I would get home, it would be like 10:30. And then I would need an hour and a half probably to wind down from the evening. I wouldn't get to bed till midnight, 4 a.m. wake up call. And I'm like, it's too hard for me to do. If it was on Thursday, like if we had a Thursday game and I only had to go through a Friday show, I probably would have done that. But I settled in last night to watch the game. And it was on Fox Sports 1, too, which I thought was pretty good. And I guess that's the advantage of having the midweek game, the last game, be played, like, on a Wednesday, is that you get the big national TV spot. So if you didn't have Apple TV all year and you chose not to watch the crew, like, that was available for you, which I thought was good. I actually tweeted that out last night, and there were a bunch of people that were like, thank you so much for this. Like, I had no clue. Didn't subscribe.
Between that and then the Apple TV, I think, was free. It was on the if you have Apple TV, but you didn't buy the MLS package for $100, I think the playoffs are on there for free.
Oh, nice.
I think that just if you have an Apple TV account and you're like, I've cut the cord, I don't have FS1. Just again, I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you know that. But I believe I saw that on MLS's website. I didn't test it out.
I didn't know that.
But it said Apple and then it said dash free and then a comma and then it said FS1, FS2.
OK,
so it looks like they are putting that stuff on the free tier, which is the first year we've dealt with that. So good to know if you're someone who maybe your parents or something, maybe they have Apple TV, but they didn't buy the thing, and they're crew fans, let them know.
Maybe you're, maybe you're an older dink, but you're not a cord cutter, and then you just can do whatever you want to. But no, I watched.
Shout out to all the dinks listening and the dildos. We appreciate all of you.
Dinks, dildos.
What if you're a sink? Single income, no kids.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, there you go. Better for you. That's awesome.
What a life.
Good job. Must be nice.
Must be nice indeed. What if you are the person who's not the single income in the relationship and you have no kids? Like, you're at home because the other spouse is just making bank and they're like, you know what, stay at home.
That's called living the good life. They don't need a title. You're royalty.
That guy is Don Delco. Three kids, and no one knows who that is, but our guy Don Delco used to work here, is living the dream.
The term for that is houseman.
Sign me up to be.
That's an actual term.
Guy who used to work at the station, his wife is like a high up exec at a major giant company.
Yeah.
And so they've moved around the country. They've moved around the world with their kids.
They've lived in Basel, Switzerland for years.
Yeah. And he is often tweeting photos from luscious golf courses or wonderful vacations. And to my knowledge, he is, if he's picked up any work, it's been on his choice. It's not because they need it for the income. Yeah. They're more than paying for the lifestyle with her income. Let him live.
He had a credit card that was dedicated to just his golf expenses per month. Did you know that? That was a real thing.
I did not know that.
He had a credit card that was just for him to pay for golf. I think he worked here because he just liked hanging out with people.
No, he wanted to do like sports journalism and did that for a while and then didn't need the income, but was like, I'll just come work here.
Yeah.
And so he did. And that's great. And we love that.
And that was terrific. And he sucked at his job, but he was no. I'm just kidding. He was mediocre at his job.
No, you know what he was? He was a guy who was like, I don't really need this job, so I'll do what I feel like doing. And if you don't want it, you can fire me, and I don't care. I don't blame him at all.
I always envied that.
My guy Don.
I do too. I love him. I think they're living out in California.
They are.
He's doing just fine.
He's great.
So I was watching. I watched on Apple TV, and I went to Chris's coverage because it was big atmosphere, big game. Chris Dorn, he's the best. Like, every time I listen to Chris, I just realize how lucky that we are to have him.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, I watch a lot of soccer. I do that, and whether it's over in the Premier League or whether it's here, I've been actually watching a little bit more MLS. You'd be proud of me.
I'm glad. That's good to hear.
I'm not watching a ton, but I'm starting to watch a little
bit. All those Lionel Messi games? I know. I'm aware.
You'd be proud of me. The only Messi game that I watched this year was like the first game when he came in and scored the free kick at the end of the game.
Yes, I watched some of that too. I know. Even though there was a U.S. women's game going on at the same time in the World Cup, but let's ignore that. It's fine.
They stink anyways. They didn't win, so what's the point? I was watching with Chris and was just hanging out on the couch last night. So that's how I took it in. And like from Jump Street, I'm just like, boy, they are all over Atlanta. Like just all over them. it should have been 2-3 in the first half. There should have been a red card brandished in the first half,
dude,
which blows my mind. But the way that Cucho takes over the game, like you're going into, you're getting ready to go into the locker room for halftime. And we see this a good amount. Like team probably is deserving of a goal, maybe two, the way that they've been playing and dominating possession. It doesn't look like Atlanta. And again, you probably spelled them what? They had a couple of spells in the game where 5-6 minutes they had possession and looked to do, you know, whatever with the ball, but nothing was dangerous. Like they just, they possessed the ball, but they didn't do anything with it.
I mean, it was in stoppage time where the announcers were saying on FS1 that Atlanta had registered one shot, not shot on goal,
and they
one
didn't,
shot the entire game.
Yeah. They didn't register a shot on goal the entire match.
They were, it was nothing. It was one way traffic from the crew from the start of the game, like you said. And That red card we can talk about because
the red card
that should have been Tristan Mayumba got away with, like if it's not a playoff game, he would have been sent off in the first half.
Yeah, easy.
And maybe he's not playing that way if it's not a road game in the playoffs, to be fair to him. Like I said, he was stupid yesterday, like the way he's playing was stupid. But in fairness, he's playing to the limits of the referee.
Yeah.
The referee's limits were obviously pretty far beyond what I would have expected, but yeah, that situation, we should address it just because it was there. And I think most crew fans know and most people watching that game know that guy's getting thrown out. It's stupid. You're a bad ref if you have to talk to a guy and you do the, like, you do this hands gesture, which is you take your thumb and forefinger, you put them together, then you place your two fingers together like they're two dogs kissing, and you go to the guy's face and go, separate. And you're like, you do that, like, never again. Like, that's it. Like, it's that whole, it's the start of the VAR, you know, signal. It's just the one line across going, that's it. No more of this. And then 5 minutes later, he does another foul, and you have to go up to him again. And then you're like, I really told you, if you don't. It was like a parent arguing with the child. It's like, if you don't go back to your bedroom right now, there will be no candy tomorrow for breakfast. And it's like, why are you giving your kid candy for breakfast? Why are you being a bad parent?
Because they run this house and I'm running on fumes.
Yes, that was he was getting run by Atlanta last night in the way that was going. So should have thrown out Tristan Mayumba. And that would, of course, I know they don't want to change the game, but my opinion on that is the player committing the fouls and the manager for not subbing him out. You can sub out in the first half.
Yeah.
There's no rule saying you have to wait
till
halftime.
And they subbed him out right in the second half, I believe, to start.
He didn't come back out because they knew he's going to, the next time he breathes on someone, he's going to get it. Because they gave him basically to halftime, they gave the manager the option of get him out at halftime, was the signal that I got from that referee. Mm-hmm. The referee thought, if I give him the talking to 5 minutes before halftime, he's not going to do anything in the next 5 minutes. And they're going to get him out of this game. Nope. And so, to me, should have been a red card, a second yellow, because you have to, I think,
on
you have
which
to enforce
tackle
the game.
On both.
Yeah, on both. The one he got the talking to should have been a yellow. And then the second one where it was like, I'm serious, dude. I'm really serious. But speaking of that, they could not handle Alexander Mattan.
No.
Atlanta could not handle him.
I don't think they could handle Yaw Yeboah. Like, I think Yaw, you know,
Yaw had a really good game.
He's gotten a lot of criticism here, and I understand that. At times he's managed to disappear, and, like, you know, we see that a lot in soccer, like big name players or anybody just has a propensity to kind of disappear. If strategy gets involved, it's like, oh, we feel better through this middle channel, or we feel better on the right hand side. Like, for what Yaw Yeboah and my expectations were for him last night, he beat him by like 100 times.
Yeah.
I thought he was dominant, and his defensive performance lended the crew to that and help them to have
Absolutely.
Zero shots on target. I thought his defensive performance last night was unbelievable.
Yeah. The crew, I know it's one game. You've got a lot of playoffs mm-hmm. left here. You got a lot of this series left. Atlanta going back there is not going to be an easy just walk in and get the win. I could see that one being a penalties type of situation. Yeah. I could see Atlanta's going to have all their firepower back. So this is going to be a very tough game. But
anytime that they get fouled, now Thiago Almeida did not play. He was suspended for last night's game. Yep. I was happy about that. Okay.
That was a big deal, right?
I think Cucho fouled one of their players, like,
yep.
I don't know, 5-7 yards outside, right on the top of the box. I'm like, next week on Tuesday,
can't do that.
You cannot.
He'll bury it, man. Yeah. He is so good. And that's the great equalizer Atlanta's had. They've scored a lot of goals. They are a talented offense, but the fact that they have that in their hip pocket, where teams have learned throughout this season, if you foul them anywhere outside the 18 strategically, or just you play them tough and they draw a foul because you're just playing really tough defense and you get away with a little something, you're going to put one of the most dangerous players in MLS over the ball.
Yeah.
And there's a very good likelihood, better than anybody else in the league, that he's going to bury it. And especially now that Lucas is not in the league.
Yep.
If Zellerion was in the league, the crew had that. They don't have it now. Sorry, Diego Rossi. They don't have that right now with you. Maybe you can prove that in this playoffs that you're that guy. But and Cucho's good on the ball, too, in free kick situations.
It's just different.
But
they're in a different league.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, next week, that's going to be your challenge defensively for the crew. But that's why Atlanta scores so many goals, in my mind, is because teams have to defend differently, knowing that that guy, you foul around the 18, you are going to get burned more often than not. So they have to let the play happen. And often that leaves to more space, and that leads to better chances for Atlanta, and they have guys who can finish those better chances. So that's all next week, though, because we got to talk about how this game progressed and how the crew got it done in this game.
Take a bow, Cucho.
Dude.
Yeah. I mean,
we've been like, I didn't want to just start there because it's the obvious point, but we can spend plenty of time on Cucho Hernandez because he is incredible.
I don't know what you do against him. I mean, that play that he scored on right before half, great job by him first to get back on side. I mean, he was ahead of the play by like four or five yards. Understands defender stepped up, then he like stops himself, brings momentum back, is onside clearly by one or two yards by the time that the ball gets played by him, and he's kind of looking around while he's taking a sprint. And I think in his own mind at this time he's like, you know what, I think I could stop the play here, hold it up, pass it back to someone, we have a numbers advantage here, but I'm Cucho blanking Hernandez,
no kidding,
like, man. I'm just gonna drive right to the net, I'm gonna shield off a defender on my left hand side. And Brad Guzan, if you can stop this 95-mile-an-hour fastball that's going to be on your near side, near post, good luck.
Oh, yeah. I know everyone listening to this podcast watches soccer and knows how it goes, but if you're talking to someone who needs that contextualized in the world of, like, other sports, I mean, that is like a Major League Baseball pitcher knowing that a guy is sitting on an inside fastball and throwing him an inside fastball and saying, you're not going to hit this.
Yeah.
And then striking him out on it. Yeah. Like that's what Cucho essentially did to Brad Guzan. He looked at him and was like, you are shaded to the near post. I know you're expecting me to go near post. You're daring me to go to the far post because you are leaving that space open, but that's going to be hard for me to do. I'm going to beat you near side anyway.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not worried about you.
Just
and
shelved it, man.
It was one of those goals that just, I'm watching it and I'm just like it just was guttural what came out of me because it was that whole first half where it's that Julian Gressel, what the hell was that early on? And by the way, who sent him through on that from midfield? That was our number 9/10, yep. Cucho Hernandez, man, that guy, dude, he's doing the work of like what Zellerion was doing and what he's been doing. Like he's had to pick that up because Rossi has been.
He's been okay.
Work in progress. Yeah. Not currently living up to the contract. I hope that changes over time for him, and I hope that changes in the next few games with him.
I don't
him.
Know if you tweeted it out, or I don't know if Brett Hillebrand tweeted it out, but it was like, the only explanation is that Julian Gressel's controller died.
Oh, no, that was not me. That was probably Brett, because, but I did see that, and it was hilarious. It was
like, dude, we're 3 minutes into the game. The roof would have exploded off this place.
Yeah.
What? Like, you've got such a gnarly right foot. You've got a great left foot.
I honestly think he had more time. I think what happened there was he believed he had more time because the ball was so good. And he thought, I have another time. I have like another touch
here that I can gather, and then
I can roof it. And instead, their defender gave him credit for getting, I don't know if that was Robinson or who it was that got back, but like caught up to him quicker than I thought he could. And then, of course, now he's got a defender on him, and he's not the guy who's going to beat you one-on-one.
Yeah.
Not in that spot. And so he just completely flubbed that chance, and that was awful, man. There's no way about it. That's awful. But again, Gressel's a guy that I think he has the potential to unlock some things for you in these type of situations. He's been in these playoffs. He's been in these high leverage situations, right? That's why they brought him in. That's why, sadly, even though he's not working out at all, that's why they brought Kevin Molino in back in the day, was because that's a guy who played in some very high leverage games and should have a chance to understand that if they get there. And that didn't work, but let's hope it works better with Julian Gressel in this situation. So Diego Rossi's playing a lot of high leverage games too.
Yeah.
With Carlos Vela next to him.
Yeah.
But you got Cucho Hernandez next to you now. Figure it out.
Yeah. These guys have played in a lot of, like you mentioned, high test matches. Like, right. I mean, you've got Aiden Morrison, Darlington, Nagby. Like these guys. You've got your own guys that have done that.
Absolutely.
As well. But I give Julian credit because I don't think he had his best game at all last night.
No, I
don't think that he did that. And you still won 2-0. Like he's going to be a critical part of this team if they want to move on in MLS Cup playoffs. The supply balls were a little bit off. He had maybe had one or two that are up to the standard of Julian Gressel's.
Yeah. A lot of guys in the box that had to like jump backwards to get on the ball. As everybody knows, the best supply ball you can get is the one where you don't have to break stride and you can just lay out for it or lean into it, whatever. Like when you're jumping backwards, trying to get leverage to head it down, it's almost a lost cause in MLS, in a professional league. You're not, unless you are the best player in the world, or like you saw Cucho a couple times attempted to bike it. That's why, because the balls were bad. He's trying to make something out of nothing there.
Every shot that Cucho put on frame, except for the bicycle, was spectacular when he went up, and you're like, oh.
Well, dude, that one.
But every shot that he put on frame was on target. I mean, the flick that he had, that was like in the 71st minute, I think. Ball comes in, it's Caraman everywhere, and like back heel flick. That was good. It was a good save.
That was the one I was going to say. I forget who fed him that. Oh, did Rossi feed him that one, or was that Matan? I can't remember. But either way, I
think it was Rossi off a set piece.
Okay, yeah, but that was a. That was sheer brilliance from him to even attempt that, and it almost were.
There was one at the end of the game, too. It was like the 87th or 88th minute where he was like way out of the box, had a shot. Darlington had one, too. I'm like, I feel like the balls were actually pretty good. I think Brad Guzan played a decent game.
Oh, Guzan is a solid MLS goaltender.
What are you
going to
do against
the
penalty,
years?
Right? I mean, he sent Brad Guzan into the stands to get a hot dog like during that penalty. You have one of three ways to go.
I loved it so
much,
though.
You picked the wrong way. You look like you're embarrassed. And then, I mean, Cucho just doing nasty business of hitting the gritty on him. So if anybody plays FIFA, and you'll be with me on this, if you play it online.
Yeah.
All right. So my buddy and I will get together on Friday night and we will play FIFA for about an hour to 2.5 hours, depending on the amount of rage that builds up. And it usually ends poorly and not good for anybody. We'll play people online, and the worst celebration that you can possibly do is like when you draw a penalty kick and then they have the celebration to gritty. And so that is just, it's running rampant. It's a pandemic that is going on, grittying in FIFA after celebrating. Mm. And the fact that Cucho to go up 2-0 in the early parts of the second half, which is like game's done and dusted at that point,
it's
boys.
Over,
see
buddy.
You later in
see
Atlanta.
Ya.
The fact that they went over to the sideline and started hitting the gritty, I'm like, that's the most disrespectful thing that I've seen in a long time. Like it happens in FIFA constantly. And the fact that Cucho did it last night at the Death Star, it was great.
Dude, I really appreciate players who grasp that this is entertainment. You know, like I always loved Deion Sanders back in the day because even as a kid, I thought this is fun.
Yeah.
Even when I wasn't rooting for him or he never was on my teams. But, you know, like when I would see him, sometimes I would say, well, I hope that team beats this other team and Deion make a play. And I'd be like, that's cool. But I always just loved the fact that he would make the play and then he knew how to properly either get the crowd up for his side or on the converse side to get the other crowd to get riled up and go, oh, my God, I hate this guy. Mm-hmm. He's great at it. I love entertainers. I love it when people acknowledge they're kind of Cucho doing that is winking and nodding at everybody.
Yeah.
Is it not? Like he's saying, yeah, I know I'm good.
Catching the beer down in Cincinnati.
And chugging it.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's winking and nod. That's just hit. You can't teach that. That is a personality thing that some people are just that they love the spotlight and they're good in the spotlight. Cucho is that player. I mean, I don't care if you're doing all the celebrations, but you can't score goals and you suck. That doesn't really matter. But like Deion could do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Deion was a Hall of Famer and could do all those things because it was fun, but he made the play first and then did that stuff. Cucho's doing that same thing.
It's like Marcus Aurelius from Gladiator.
Are you not entertained?
You win the crowd, you win your freedom. Are you not entertained? Like that's kind of what he is. And the fact
that
this is the first playoff match that we've got to see Cucho in, and it's like two goals, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Should have had a hat trick last night.
Yeah, he really could have. He was on a lot of business last night.
He was the
night.
Best player on the field, like, by a lot.
I think that he gets MLSsoccer.com, who I don't usually read, but they actually had a nice little article that said, Cucho Hernandez is the best modern forward in MLS. And they were making the case as to why. And it's a lot of that stuff where, yes, he is not your target nine typical, but he does make so many plays. He plays a little bit like a 10 and then still goes out there and can be the hold up player if you really need him to, but they don't have him do that a lot in this system from Wilfried Nancy.
He's kind of roams.
Yeah. And he goes back and tracks back when he has to. He does some dirty work defensively when he needs to, but he is just, it's a weird comparison. And again, I know I'm saying this to a guy who should be able to judge it fairly well. I feel like Manchester United fans probably felt this way when Wayne Rooney was on the field. Was like, that guy's going to do everything it takes to win today.
Yeah.
Now, he's obviously not the same player completely, and they are on different levels as far as all-time, you know, in the world of soccer. But he's got that kind of, if he's out there, I got a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's where Manchester fans were when, you know, Wayne Rooney was out there. United fans had to feel like we got a shot.
It was a security blanket.
Yeah. He papers over some other deficiencies, right?
Yeah.
But now you've got Matan drawing the fouls, getting, like, I mean,
drawing the penalty, which was a great job. It was a foul. It was a penalty.
Yeah, he wasn't even trying to draw that penalty. He was looking up, had his head up, looking. I got options here. I could cross this in.
Raked right down the shin and then stomped on.
Yeah, it was just a stupid foul and a bad. And that was Atlanta last night. They were just tons of terrible fouls because they were outplayed, completely outplayed. So
I'm super excited for this team. It's a good feeling. Like, if they play the way they played last night and they can take that on the road in Atlanta, I think it's a major step for them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be going down there on the road, because if you ultimately want to achieve your goal and raise that trophy at the end of these playoffs, like, you're going to have to go into some hostile environments and do some things. But I'm just in awe that the way that, I mean, this team moves, the identity. Like, if you want to sit back and you want to defend, and I know they've had their problems defending late game leads.
Right.
And that's been a thing for the last couple of years. Like, but when they're clicking, like, and when they're moving the ball around, even at the end of the game when they were, like, killing time off and Rudy Camacho is, like, doing things and spinning back around.
Rudy Camacho, why'd they bring him in? Because this is a guy who's been around, and it's not even that he's played in tons of high leverage playoff games, though he has played in some in MLS. It's more about he knows this system and he knows what's expected and he's going to fit in. I think there's been some shaky moments with him throughout the summer, getting him adjusted to this. I feel like now we're getting to a point where he's a lot more comfortable, and obviously he knows Nancy's system. We haven't talked as much about Wilfried Nancy. We will. We'll take a break. We'll come back and kind of discuss that and where the Crew go from here, what's on the horizon with the rest of the playoffs, and we'll talk Manchester United. Soccer talk. Can't wait. It's all next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
Beam United.
Of course you can. Whoa. Peter Brady moment there. Wow. Okay. We'll just leave it in. I don't care. Voice cracky.
To be
not
fair,
good.
We could easily restart it, but you're just.
No, leave it. That's right at the beginning, and I don't care. We're going to keep it in there. Anyway, you can tweet us at Bone Beam United. I was going to say about that, I think the last three or four episodes, I've promised photos of different things.
Yeah, you've lied.
And I've forgotten to post any of them, so I'm going to go after the podcast today. So by the time you hear this, they should be posted on our Bone and Beam United account.
No, you're
I will
not.
Go back
this is
and
a lie.
No, I'm going to dump in like some photos of what I think. I know we talked about I was going to post my photo with Alexander Matan. And then I was going to post
your tattoo,
my tattoo, which I did not post. And then there was something else I'll probably remember if you are disappointed at our Twitter account, just know I am even more disappointed in it. It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Are you the social media manager for our radio station?
I don't know what you're talking about. I am the digital director. Which I thought meant just post some things on the gram, and instead has now turned into, can you get on customer service with streaming people?
Hey, buddy, it's tough.
I did not realize what I was, the can of worms I was hopping into. Yeah. It is a full on.
That's why
can.
I haven't pressed about not posting pictures to our Twitter.
No.
I'm like, you know what? The bone man is rather busy.
I'm glad you are, though, in posting stuff, because I've just been
posting GIFs of Premier League coaches.
That's good. I like that.
A big win, like Big Ange, been posting that.
Big Ange is
Arsenal
good.
a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
No Pep. I didn't do the Pep tweet.
I can't blame you. I don't think you'd want to do that. A guy that we could post GIFs of there is Wilfried Nancy, who has, I think, it's hard to say he's transformed the Crew, because the Crew.
Well, he has.
Well, I mean, they won MLS Cup 3 years ago and then missed the playoffs two consecutive years, and he's come right back in and got this team up to where we thought, top four team in the East and playing in the playoffs some of their best soccer through one game. I think it's a credit to him, and I keep talking about Matan. I know he's my guy, but you know, he had a really good game, I thought, in this one.
Bone, he didn't play for the last year and a half.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, not year and a half.
Well,
I mean,
know.
He played
like
this season.
No,
last
year.
2 years. He didn't play.
Well, Caleb Porter wanted nothing to do with them, and I feel like it's a testament to the organization, but also to Wilfried Nancy. one of his biggest things when they brought him in was he's a guy who can take a player who's maybe not playing as well, especially younger players, and get them unlocked and get them comfortable. And I feel like it was really smart by Tim Bezpachenko and the organization to say, let's not give up on Alexander Mattan just yet. Let's have, when we get our new coach in, who's actually going to do what we ask him to do and not just scream at guys and yell at them to play better, and then that's his strategy.
Yeah.
We're going to actually get a guy who can help coach him up and give some guidance that will help. Now you're seeing him flourish. And I think that's a big testament to Wilfried Nancy. The way that they do play that possession style that Porter wanted to play at times, but it's not like you're playing empty bucket. Yeah. It's not like you're just kicking around the 18 and
there's
not knowing
what to
do.
There's always like two or three lanes to go to.
Absolutely. It's so
like, and there's
much
always, there's,
more.
And there's two, there's always like, if those lanes get shut down, like I noticed against Atlanta last night, like sometimes they were all over them. You know, they were doing the high press and they were able to do that. But like, there's always an emergency shutoff valve.
Yep.
And like most of the time, and that's why I think Patrick Schulte has done a tremendous job this year. Now, he had the big mistake against Cincinnati, but since then he has learned he's become an entirely different player. But you have a goalie. That's what we talk about a lot. Like, we want goalies that are able to play out of the back. That is such the advantage of having, you know, a 11th field player out there that is able to do something, that can make something out of nothing and get your team out of a pinch when somebody is trying to press you and win possession in their own half.
And you saw it even at the end of the game, where it's also great strategy to be able to help you kill off a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Atlanta was doing everything they could trying to get a goal back to try to get this even up in the last 15 minutes or so. And they had nothing. I mean, the Crew every time would just repossess the ball in midfield, work it all the way back to Schulte. Schulte would take his time, draw them out, and then it was right back up the field you go, and suddenly, I mean, hell, that
turn it, spin it back around, do the same thing.
Yeah, but I love how versatile it is, too, because they can play that way. They can play that possession style. Obviously, the Crew love to be on the ball. You had Atlanta and Columbus are the two teams that have scored the most goals in MLS all year. Those two the Crew got them by a goal as far as most this season, but Atlanta was right there. And yet, you saw the Crew, how'd they score their first goal? On a counter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not how they typically do it, but they certainly have the it helps you have Cucho.
Yeah.
He can unlock a lot of things, right? But, and that goal that Gressel should have had, or at least the shot he should have had, was what? Essentially counter. Like a counter. Yeah. I mean, so they can play that, and they were playing it all game trying to, because I think Nancy is so good at looking at the other team and saying, this is something we can exploit. They're going to try to push up a little bit. We're going to get them. And then once that started to become a thing, Atlanta adjusted, and now they're back to playing the way the Crew actually want them to play, which is let us have the ball more, let us have some fun with it. And so they got a goal off a counter. They had a lot of their best chances off of counters in this game, and they burned Atlanta. And I think that was phenomenal by Wilfried Nancy. It's great strategy, great tactics.
I think it's a great hire.
Shoot.
I think it was.
It really was.
I think it was.
Thank God Joey Saputo's an idiot.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. You know,
that a lot easier to get him over here.
I was texting our good buddy, good friend of the program, Mike Bennett, last night, and he was watching the game. I told him, I was like, hey, I know you don't have Apple TV, but they're on FS1, like, if you want to watch the Crew. And, you know, going back and forth, he's like, yeah, man, they look smooth, you know. And I was texting him, I'm like, I honestly, and I think it might be too early, and I think we'll have a few more years of Wilfried Nancy. I'm like, you put him in a system over in Europe, put him on a team over in Europe with like players that are world class caliber. Now you have a few here that are world class caliber.
I know what you mean. You're not. You
I'm like
to...
he could the way that he plays and the way that he manages games. Like, it doesn't matter what league in the world he's in. Like, he would have success.
Oh yeah,
he would.
He,
like, not easily, but it translates so well to whatever play style that you want to play. Like, I would much rather Wilfried Nancy be the coach of the U.S. men's national team
goodness,
right
yes.
now than Greg Berhalter would.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, and for those who don't know the difference, like, Berhalter's system is very rigid.
It's a system.
It is a system. It is you come here, you play this way, this is what I expect of you, this is where you have to be. Wilfried Nancy, like, the first time he came in, I remember him talking about poetry.
Yeah.
And how, you know, beautiful everything is. And the way he was describing what he wants players to do was almost like he was describing a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. So I know some players don't like that. And I know in some, you know, some cultures that might, like, if you go to England and you go to, like, second division English soccer, that may not,
like,
always
Millwall's
be.
Like, Millwall's probably not going to fly.
Right? That may not get the best out of those players necessarily, but when you've got a huge group of players from all over the world, a connecting thing is, I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy this. I want you to be successful. It's not about my system succeeding. It's about our group succeeding and our way of doing it. If that means I have to change what I was planning on doing because of the personnel I have,
yeah,
or what the game calls for, all these coaches will do it. Greg Berhalter will change up what he does a little bit, but Wilfried Nancy seems like he is very much adept at saying, what are they throwing at us? We've got the, here's how we're going to deploy everybody, and here's who's going to have a good game, and here's how we're going to make that happen. And
Caleb Porter can coach in MLS. We know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wilfried Nancy can coach wherever he wants.
Absolutely right. Well said. And I don't disagree at all. So we're lucky to have him, and yeah, let's hope that, don't waste the time you got with him either.
No.
Don't, I don't know how long he's going to be here. I hope it's forever.
Me too. Yeah, same.
If it's not, then don't waste this time and let's make the most of these chances.
I can't wait until the Crew lose two in a row next summer and we're freaking out about tactics. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, just save this one and chop it up later when we're doing that. All right. So before we get into some Manchester United talk, I forgot to ask you about this. I know you mentioned it yesterday. Did you get to talk to neighbor Eric at all?
Yeah. Neighbor Eric wants a segment on the podcast every week. It's called Neighbor Eric's Question of the Week. He's going to give us a stupid question. Well, I think in his mind, it's a good question. In my mind, it'll be stupid.
Okay.
That he's going to give us every week. Neighbor Eric's Question of the Week this week is, what is it harder to do? Because he's a big Blue Jackets fan, too. Is it harder to score a hockey hat trick or is it harder to score a soccer hat trick?
Oh, I think it's 100% soccer.
Yeah.
I mean, you looked at last night. You had Cucho on, too, and he had multiple chances to get a third, but it's difficult. I mean, I know it's difficult in hockey. I think the plus for soccer is that you're – like, if you're Cucho Hernandez, you're on the field for 80-plus minutes. Yeah. You're not, like – going off every so often.
Your time on ice isn't like 1842.
Right, yeah. Like, hockey players are doing shifts that are 20, 30 seconds, and then they're back off, and then they're back on. And so I think the argument there is soccer players have a little bit more time to do that. However, I think it's so much harder to get three quality chances and bury all of them. Whereas in hockey, you can get a goal by being in front of the net, and it glances off your leg and goes in, and you get credit for the goal. I'm not saying that that's how they all happen.
You could do that in soccer.
You're right. You could, but it's just the amount. I mean, shots on goal in hockey are 35, 40 a game. You have shot. Yeah. If you have 15 shots on goal in an MLS game, you've set a record.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other part of it, is just the opportunities are so much higher in hockey. So I think in hockey, it's a little, not that it's easy ever.
Yeah, they're not easy.
Yeah. But I feel like you see a hat trick at least once a week in the NHL. I don't think you see that in MLS. You don't see a hat trick every week.
Yeah,
in MLS,
not very,
or
not very
in the Premier
often.
League or anywhere else. Like, it's just not a thing. So
I also say soccer, Eric. And I told him that when he was drunk and I was driving.
You know,
I was driving him home from City Tavern watching the Manchester Derby on Sunday.
I like it. You know what? If you think you've got a better question of the week than Eric, you can also tweet those to us at I almost said the other one. At Bone Beam United, not at Man
or
and T-Bone.
T-Bone will look at it on his Twitter account and then he will just tell you to go blank yourself because he's not active on our Twitter.
At Bone Beam United. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to be better. I was going to say, if it's a good enough question, we could throw it up on Bone Beam United, Neighbor Eric's Question of the Week, but I feel like that one would get 100% votes for soccer, right? Like,
yeah,
that's being harder. I don't think anybody would vote for hockey. I could be wrong, though. We could toss it up there and see. So let's talk about Manchester United. How much do you want to get into the debacle of this past? Would you call it a debacle or would you call it an expected outcome?
I was talking to Panama Ted, who's your producer for Common Man and T-Bone. I do Buckeye postgame. So each and every week, about an hour after the game ends, Timmy Hall and I will go in there, go into the studio and do postgame talk. So I was walking out and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning because they played a primetime game last week. And your boy, Teddy, he is an Arsenal fan. And I think Arsenal had played that day, and I'm like, oh, nice, Ted, way to go. And he goes, oh, man, you got Manchester Derby tomorrow at City and United. What's going to happen? And I'm like, well, I could see it going two ways. It's either going to be a 2-1 United win, or they're going to get hammered 3-0. Like, I said that to Ted, and fast forward, what happened Sunday afternoon? Boom, 3-0 City win at Old Trafford. Erling Haaland with a double, and Phil Foden finished things off for City. So that was nice. It was good to see. And then in the midweek, they were playing in the Carabao Cup where they got trounced by Newcastle's B-side. 3-0 at home at Old Trafford. And haven't had the best week. But at least their socks are fitting better now.
Yeah. So if you didn't see this, this was from the Daily Mail. So take it with a grain of salt because the Daily Mail, not known for their most accurate reporting ever. Apparently, stars on Manchester United's team have complained about the fit of the kit, so to speak. So they said the socks have been too tight. They have like a weird pattern on them that for the home socks anyway, that the players complained were too tight and constrictive and they didn't like how they felt. So for the last few, I guess since the second game of the year, they've just been wearing generic, like, black and white.
You can look like a Manchester United player.
Yeah, go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get, like, soccer socks.
And,
or Soccer Plus, right. Yeah. And you could go find the same socks that they're wearing, apparently, because they said those are better than the custom ones that were sent over by Adidas. The other thing is that, like, apparently, you've had a few players complain that the jerseys are too tight.
Jesus.
And they're wearing replica kits out there because they are not as constrictive as the stuff that they've been given. One specific guy who apparently has been doing this is Andre Onana, who, you know, they only paid.
Yeah, that's the reason why he's been letting in those goals.
Sure. Well, he can't stretch because the jersey's like locking his arms down.
That's
like,
why.
I can't move and the socks hurt. The jersey hurts.
Yeah. Ouch, ouch, ouch. You're on my ear. Yeah, that's disgusting.
They're not blaming it for losses. They're just saying this stuff sucks. And I don't blame a player for saying this is uncomfortable. I'm going to wear what is comfortable so I can play better. Bad news, you're not playing better.
No, you're not.
But I get it. Think about how much worse they would be if they had kept with those socks, I guess.
Hey, Erik ten Hag out. Done.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, done.
Are you predicting this or did news break?
No. Nothing broke. Okay. I'm getting there mentally.
Oh, okay.
He was my guy. He was my guy. Yeah. I loved him.
A lot of Manchester United fans did, but yeah. That time has come,
well,
buddy.
Well, I mean, he's had I think eight or nine signings. Like they've all been bad. Rasmus Højlund, young striker. I mean, we'll see what happens with him. He's still young. Anthony has been $100 million waste. Like he's not doing anything. He's got a left foot.
Onana, $50 million goalkeeper that's been just like a regular, like a replacement level goalkeeper, not even, or actually worse than replacement.
Lost
level.
David De Gea for free. He would come back to the club. Like David De Gea, way better at that.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like Christian Eriksen, okay, pretty good.
Yeah.
Christian Eriksen also like 35 years old and Casemiro, good last year, awful this year. Rafael Varane can't stay on the field. Lisandro Martinez, like good player when he's healthy. It's bad.
Yeah,
it's
bad. I'm sorry, buddy. I know that I keep saying this because every time I don't have a Premier League team that I'm like as hardcore about as you are. Obviously, I pick up teams year to year. I enjoy them. I go up with them.
Villains are going to break the curse this year.
I feel like they're going to stay up.
Yeah.
I feel like they could do even a lot more than that. But yeah, Aston Villa, the team I picked this year. But obviously, I don't have the connection to it that you do with Manchester United. So genuinely, I know you're just at a point where you want to see this thing turn. And
I didn't even watch the game yesterday. I mean, is Newcastle's a 4:15 start? It was right. Going to be leading into the Crew game. I had no interest. And that's when you know it gets bad as a fan, where your disgust turns to apathy.
Apathy is the
worst place to be as a fan.
Oh, yeah. I have watched many a Browns game in disgust. It was only a couple times during the 0-16 season where I was like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I do not care.
Yeah.
It was not like, I've watched plenty of games where I've been like, I'm mad at this team and I hate this coach and I hope he gets fired, but I will watch and see.
I'm going to hate
happens.
Watch this.
Yeah. I've done that plenty of times, but you're right. Apathy is not good, and I feel like that is a bad sign for Manchester United fans. Maybe the new partial ownership can help turn that tide as that starts to happen.
Bring Jose back. Bring him back.
The special one.
He's going to be out at Roma at the end of the year. So
hey,
I say
there you go.
Return leg two for him.
You know what? Go ahead and put the call in now. Get him in there. Make everybody will hate him. You'll win more games.
Maybe Big Ange collapses and United can go poach him.
That's not happening.
No, it's not.
Don't speak.
I know. Yeah, my bad.
Tottenham fans are laughing at you right now for even suggesting the idea.
I'm the lover of Big Ange. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody listens to the show knows that we are the home of Big Ange love.
We've been on Big Ange long before I think most people in the Premier League. We were talking about him last year with Celtic.
Yeah.
And then when we saw that Tottenham was hired him, we said, that's a good hire. You're not going to regret it. And they're not so far.
How about old Yanni Infantino taking the World Cup to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, so we got to get into that before we go because this is the – remember – Yanni Infantino was the non-corruption candidate to replace Sepp Blatter, and all it's been is just more corruption. So if you missed it, after the World Cup comes to the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, which we're all looking forward to, the next one, the Men's World Cup, in 2026, then it goes to, because 2030 is going to be the 100-year anniversary of the first World Cup, which was won by Uruguay, and I want to say was played in Uruguay as well, but I believe it was Uruguay and Argentina in the first final. So that particular World Cup is being hosted by Spain? Am I wrong?
Spain, Morocco, and Portugal.
Spain, Morocco, Portugal are doing their joint bid, and FIFA said, that's cool and all, I'll let you cook, but first, we're going to open the tournament with some games over in
South America,
because that is where the first World Cup was. And who's the third country? Because Argentina is going to host a game. Uruguay is going to host a game.
I think it might be Peru. I don't think it's Brazil. No.
It's someone like, I want to say it's Peru, but the reason is because that is where FIFA was, or that's where CONMEBOL either is headquartered.
Chile.
Is it Chile?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, wherever it is, that's where the governing body of South American soccer, CONMEBOL, that's where their headquarters either were or are. And so they're hosting a game too, which of course, who cares where their like office is? Like, why would I give two shits where that is? I mean, again, nothing against that country. I'm sure it's lovely. They'll have a nice game there. I'm just saying the idea of like, well, we're going to play it in Uruguay because they won the first one and hosted. It's like, all right, I guess I could get there.
It's Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay.
Paraguay. That was the third
Argentina,
one.
Argentina,
okay.
Paraguay, Uruguay, and Chile lobbed up the bid. Spain, Morocco, Portugal won the bid. Chile, unfortunately, got dropped from the entire thing.
That's right. So Paraguay is, I was thinking it was Peru. I was wrong. Paraguay is where I think their headquarters are or were for CONMEBOL. So that's where they're playing the third game. So it has to do, that's what it has to do with.
Yeah.
They wanted this bid. They probably paid a bunch of money for it. They didn't get it, but they're getting a consolation prize. Fine. So that's where they're going to start. Then they're going to do that over in Portugal, Spain, and Morocco for the main part of the tournament. Now they've already moved on to 2034.
Yeah.
And where is that going to be, Beamer?
Oh, that's in Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Australia was rumored to possibly be getting it.
And Australia just out of nowhere was like, we don't want any part of this. Or FIFA came to them and was like, hey, here's a boatload of cash to keep your dollars away from lobbing up a potential World Cup bid. That's what I think happened.
I honestly think, I don't know, man, because... So if Saudi Arabia came strong to the hole and was like, we want this. We want the bid. We want to host the World Cup.
Of course. Look at Live Golf. Well, of course they came strong.
So that's what I'm saying. It's the public investment fund that has taken over golf. PF, right? They have no shortage of cash. Yeah. Supposedly that the fund is worth over $600 billion. $600 billion.
Yeah.
Think about that.
You buy anything you want.
Yeah.
You buy a World Cup.
You could buy Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You could buy Mark Zuckerberg. You could buy like all those guys. Yeah, I'm saying like that's how much money this is. So to go to FIFA and say, we want this, what's it going to take? I'm sure Australia was like, why even be in this bidding war?
Yeah.
We know that's what's going to happen. We know you're going to get wooed and you're going to get some kind of cash under the table. So you know what? We're not even going to try to play that game. And good for Australia. I tend to think that's what it was. But either way, or maybe it was Saudi Arabia just saying, hey, and by the way, Australia, what would you like? You want some infrastructure? Here's $20 billion for everything you want. Leave us alone and let us have our World Cup. And Australia was like, you know what? Job done. So maybe if that's what you're saying, I thought you were saying FIFA would do that.
Oh, no. FIFA's not giving up any
shekels. They're not giving up any money.
Yeah,
but
no way.
Saudi Arabia maybe could have. But either way, yeah, that's where apparently the World Cup's going to be in 2034. So,
hey, if we're doing the show in 11 years.
Yeah.
We're hitting the road.
We didn't go to Qatar.
Well, that's because we're just coming off a pandemic, Bone.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Well, I hope we're going on the road for the actual World Cup in our country.
That's in 3 years. Yeah, we'll get that done.
All
that'll be like 2.5 years away.
Well, it's 3 years from this coming summer. No.
2.5 years. Jeez.
It's 3 years from this past summer. I forgot we're already because we had a short. Oh, God. I forgot all about that. All right. I'm going to be in so much debt. I just realized.
I should have stayed a dink.
My oldest is going
to. We should have stayed dinks.
My oldest is going to be like in high school.
Yeah.
So college will be right around the corner, and I'm going to have to take a little bit of nest egg and say, hey, you know what? Sorry. Maybe community college is where you need to go. We're going to go road tripping for the World
Trade
Cup.
School.
Hey, I'm praying one of them is like, Dad, I really want to learn about welding.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
Awesome. Let's go. I'll shoot you right over there. Way cheaper and you make more money, so let them live.
I don't know where we're gonna go for the World Cup, but we will be going to a World Cup game.
Absolutely.
If not multiple.
Dude, I'm
on the station's dime, actually. That's
100%.
You know what, that's
100%.
Your daughter doesn't need to worry about
you're right. This is a work trip.
Yep,
that's exactly right. And I will tell you this,
I'm expensing beers,
I'm expensing a couple dinners, I'm expensing good. We're not going on media passes. We're buying tickets.
Of course.
And we're just going to go. And my, if we get the station to, because this is how this will work, you'll be hearing us go, hey, guys, we're live at a soccer tournament that we can't call the World Cup because it's sponsored by so-and-so. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. They'll pay for it. Someone will pay for it. By the way, if you're one of those businesses that wants to do that, let us know. Hit us up. Anyway, the point is, when that happens, I will be also having, make, I will make sure that we get custom jerseys paid for by whoever's paying for all the rest of it.
Yes.
And maybe we can even bring some listeners along. I think that would be a nice little
like
trip.
Like a sweepstake.
Oh, sweepstakes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little mail-in. We'll send out order forms in your mailers.
And That's right.
You can write on your
name.
It'll
be like a publisher's clearinghouse. We'll come to your door with a gigantic ticket stub.
Oh, ticket stub. Even better.
But
perfect.
It'll be a printout of a phone because ticket stubs don't exist anymore. But it'll be a phone with the screenshot of the ticket.
Actually, let's get a giant QR code that then everyone can hack on Twitter or X if that exists anymore. And yeah, we'll post the picture and then everyone gets the World Cup for free. That'll be great. All right, that's it for us. Dream big, fail miserably. That's our motto. We will see you next week. Hopefully talking about, I guess we won't have another crew game to talk about. Oh, yeah, we will at that point. It'll be, yeah, Tuesday's the next one. So we'll give you an update on that. Hopefully the crew are on to the next round, and we'll look ahead to the MLS playoffs, hopefully beyond that. But if not, we'll talk about game 3 and what the crew will have to do then. That's all coming up next. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.